Give it to me, I'm worth it. Baby, I'm worth it.
Well, I don't know if anybody grew up with, when you grew up as a kid with television, and I don't even know where, I don't even know if they did this for weather or what, but you remember you'd be watching television and they would say, I'm going to interrupt this broadcast for a, what would it be? A special message. So today I'm going to interrupt this broadcast for a special message. I'm going to tell you something. We are in the middle of a series called Worth It. And today's message, Pastor Stephen shared some things with me, and I believe that it doesn't not fit. But it's not necessarily in the vein that we were in last week, but a dear friend of mine sent me a message on Monday morning. And I went for my walk on Monday morning and began to listen to it. And as I began to listen to it, honestly, something happened on the inside of me. It really did. It was a kind of a huge wake-up call message for me. And we began preparing this week, and we just were getting ready for the next part of You're Worth It. And this message just kept coming up to me, kept coming up to me, kept coming up to me. And Friday, we were sitting outside, and we were preparing our notes, and I just told him, I said, I feel like that I just have to reteach this person's message. And so he was like, absolutely. And so he listened to it and he said, absolutely. And so this morning, I want to let you know that I'm going to be preaching Jensen Franklin's message. I have some Pastor Tiffany stuff in there that I believe that the Spirit of God gave right for Coastal Family Church. But when I listened to this message, this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. This wasn't a message just for where Jensen preached it. It was a message for the body of Christ. You know that there's sometimes messages that are for the entire body of Christ. And I believe that this message is honestly, I think it's going out all over the place. Here's the name of it. So if you want to go home and listen to it from Jensen, please do. I got a little bit of a twist on it. We have some things that you're going to see here that just connect with us, but it's called The 25th Bear. Anybody listen to it already? Oh, good. I get to preach it like the first time. So if you'll just do me a favor and just greet somebody near you, tell them you're glad to be sitting by you, and we'll get started this morning. Couple things. Kenzie might come up and close us out depending on the time frame. If you did come prepared to give today, they don't even have to put it up there if you don't want to, Miss Laura, but if you did come prepared to give today, you can give several ways here at Coastal Family Church. You can give on our app. If you haven't taken a time to download the app, please do. So there's a lot of information on the app. You can also text to give. There's a number available for you on our app. You can give on our website. And then there's also drop boxes that are out, and they're right back in the sanctuary and then out in the foyer. We just want to say thank you so much for your generosity. I'm going to flip mics. There we go. Perfect. Can I give you this? The other quick announcements that I want to just let you know about is that if you don't know already, our small groups are going live today at noon. We are very, very excited. We have some wonderful, wonderful small groups. Thank you, small group leaders who have stepped up to the plate. There's some amazing small groups. So those will go live today at noon. They will launch next week, but they're going to go live for signups today. But if you will, I'm going to go ahead and read a scripture. Just give me a few seconds to get to my notes. I'm going to be reading to you a scripture in Kings, in 2 Kings chapter 3. They're going to have it up on the screen. 2 Kings chapter 3. I know that we already prayed when we closed, but if I could be a little transparent with you, I'm going to I'm going to be purposefully slow this morning so that I can calm down. I'm a tad bit nervous. I'm a tad bit nervous because sometimes there's messages that can be difficult to teach, but you know that they're necessary. And so I want to always do a good job at making sure that Jesus is represented and not just me. So would you just pray for me, and I'll pray for me. Would that be all right? Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the words that you've given me, the things that you've stirred up in my heart. I believe that they are a mandate or a necessary thing. I ask that you would deliver them with the same power that I received them. I thank you that they fall on ears and that the power of the Holy Spirit is very present in this room, not only within us, but among us. I thank you for it. I ask that you would use my tongue for clarity, for instruction, for correction, for reproof. I ask that you would do that through me. May I be a vessel that glorifies you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I was like going to look for my glasses, but they're on me. I'm going to read you this scripture in 2 Kings chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 23 through 25. I'm going to be reading all of my scriptures out of the New Living Translation. Here we go. Elisha left Jericho. So just let me give you a little bit of background here. So in this chapter, chapter 3, I don't know how many of you know, but there was a man in the Old Testament named Elijah. And then there was a man in the Old Testament named Elisha. And Elijah was the first prophet. And Elisha came alongside him and actually traveled and did ministry with him. And so when Elijah got ready to go, actually he got taken up by chariots from this earth. And so when Elijah got ready to leave, Elijah asked Elisha what he wanted. Kind of like, you know, if you ever laying with someone dead, getting ready to pass away, and you said, you know, what else could I give you? So Elisha says to Elijah, I want a double portion of what you have. I want a double portion of the call of God on your life. And so he placed a cloak upon him, and that double portion came. So this is in this chapter that I'm reading, and what happened at that moment is the very first thing that you begin to see is Elisha begins to have the very first miracle. He takes some salt, puts it on water, and that miracle has just happened. So Elisha is now on his way onto a journey, and you're going to pick up right here. Please feel free to read all of these things in context. Always, for time's sake, we don't have the time to read everything, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't go back and check us. Right? We're not perfect. We love for you to be studiers of the word. And so we just encourage you to go back, dive in. The Old Testament is always a type and shadow of the new. The Bible's in two parts. It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament was written under the Old Covenant. It was before Jesus, okay? But the New Testament is for the body of Christ, the church that's now. But the Old Covenant, if you don't ever read it, you'll miss some beautiful types and shadows of what Jesus is. And plus, not only that, it's better than TV, the Old Testament is. If you're a novel reader, if you like murder and mystery, it's all over the place. hence, you don't even need to watch, I don't know what else there is to watch. So here we go. And Elisha left Jericho and went up to Bethel. And as he was walking along the road, a group of boys from town began mocking him and making fun of him. Go away, Baldy, they chanted. Go away, Baldy. Elisha turned around and looked at them, and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And then two bears came out of the woods and mauled the 42 of them. From there, Elisha went to Mount Carmel and finally returned to Samaria. There's your text for today. Exciting. How many of you, I don't know how many of you grew up in the Outer Banks, how many of you know about the bear lady? Oh, this would be fun. So maybe those of you that are not from the Outer Banks, you've never known about the bear lady. So I'm going to give you a little bit of history. We have our very own bear lady in the Outer Banks. Let me look up her. Her name was Kay. I think her real name was actually Karen, but people called her Kay Grayson. So I'll give you a little history. Kay hung out with the bears in Columbia. Anybody here from Columbia? Oh, nobody. Well, it's not that far. And so let me give you a little history. Kay was originally was a showgirl in Las Vegas, a beautiful lady, her past is kind of all over the place. Please feel free, read up about her. Very interesting. Anyway, she ended up getting in a business deal with some people that wanted to sell some property along the that highway and develop it and kind of give it canal front. Anyway, it was a business deal gone bad. But when Kay came to see the property, she fell in love with it and had an encounter with a bear. And I guess began to really like bears. And so much so that Kay got a trailer and began to hang out with the bears all the time. And she fed the bears. They say that the bears actually came into her trailer. She hand fed them. And she kind of lost her mind in the process and just liked bears way more than she liked people. And it's very interesting in this teaching that Jensen begins to talk about. Now, do you remember a couple, probably about a month ago, when I began to talk about four-wheeling? And Pastor Stephen was quite nervous because I knew nothing about four-wheeling. Does anybody remember that? Okay, well, I'm getting ready to talk about something I know nothing about again. So anybody in here ever shot a bear? Welcome online, by the way. Shot a bear. No. Okay, so here's an interesting thing. So there's a couple different things about bears. Now, in North Carolina and along the East Coast, we have black bears. We have black bears. But out west, towards Alaska and all those other places, they don't have black bears. Colorado, I reckon. They have grizzly bears. Anybody here ever shot a grizzly bear? No grizzly bear hunters. Mike Johnson's not in the room. So grizzly bears and black bears are quite different. So Kay from the Outer Banks hung out with black bears. And they say that they're a little less dangerous than grizzly bears. Do a little study yourself if you're interested, if you're a nature person. This will probably be the last time I think about bears again. I really don't care all that much about bears. I just care about the context of the word and the bears. So what's interesting is there is a story about a guy. Let me find his name for you really quick. His name is Timothy Treadwell. Now, you can find a ton of information about Timothy Treadwell. Timothy Treadwell ended up in Alaska, and he got so fascinated with the bears, with grizzly bears, that he spent 13 summers, he would go on the Alaskan path where the bears were, and he began to spend time with them and hang out with them. And I read a little bit about this, but when you are allowed to go there and camp, you are allowed to go there and walk the trails. But here's an interesting thing. When you go there, you have to put an electric fence around you. And then you're supposed to carry a certain spray with you. And you're supposed to do all these things to protect you from the grizzly bears so that they don't obviously eat you. And so what happened after a while, Timothy Treadwell went so much and became so comfortable, he began to name the bears on the trail. He became so comfortable with the bears in this in all the summers that he would go to Alaska that he began to not do what the rangers told him to do. What he had like 4 or 5 tickets for just disobeying all the laws that he was supposed to. And because you're not supposed to feed them, right? I mean, and so he would feed them, and he began to name them. And what was so interesting is he had a girlfriend. And actually a fiance, and the very last summer that he went there, you can read that his girlfriend was very uncomfortable with the bears, but she went anyway. When you read about this, so I'm just going to tell you what happened. The 13th summer that Timothy Griswold and his girlfriend, fiance Amy, went, they were supposed to catch a flight out, but for some complications, they weren't able to catch the flight, and they went back to the camp where they were. And they were going to do a little bit more footage. Now, there's an interesting thing that they say about grizzly bears. Now, grizzly bears tend to run from you. They don't tend to, they're not, their nature is not necessarily to attack you. But they say that there's this thing called the 25th bear. Say the 25th bear. They say 1 in 25 bears, which is why they call it the 25th bear. I'm going to read you exactly what it says about them. It says this. It says, the 25th bear is one that tolerates no man or bear one that will kill without bias. The 25th bear, it says, it will kill a man, it will kill a bear, and it has no bias. Now here's the thing, no bears wear like numbers. You know, you're not out there going, oh, bear two, hi. You know, so here's the thing. So what was interesting is you can read in some of the commentaries that when this Timothy guy came upon some of this bears, he actually came in contact with this one bear, and it says that he named it demon. He named it demon. And but he still, what's interesting is that he still said, I feel like I can make a friend out of demon. They believe that demon ate Timothy. Also, I looked for it yesterday. I didn't get to find it. But the very last time that he was there, they had their cameras rolling. It was actually in a bag, so there's no video. There's just audio. And what they say that you can hear is you can hear Timothy and his girlfriend Amy get attacked by the bears. You can hear the screams of him and his girlfriend getting shredded to pieces. They said when they went and found the bear and killed the bear and they ripped the bear open, his clothing was inside the bear's belly. Now you might wonder where I'm going with this. Here is something that one park, actually, it wasn't a park ranger. He was a researcher with the Alaskan Science Center. He said this. He said, it's a tragic thing. Check this out. I sat on this for just a little bit yesterday when I read. He said, it's a tragic thing, but not unpredictable. It was tragic, but not unpredictable. Now, we've been in ministry. I just turned 50 August 23rd. We've been doing ministry since I was probably 21. Now, there are some things that I can look at in life and see paths that people are choosing and say, it's tragic, but it's predictable. It's very predictable. And one of the things that's very interesting is in the commentary of the verse that I read you in 2 Kings. Because you're thinking, where do these two things tie in? The commentary that talks about when Elijah and when the boys came out and they began to taunt Elisha and began to make fun of him. Here's what the commentary says. Because it wasn't like Elisha ordered the bears. Actually, the bears came out of nowhere. He did. It says in the word that he put a curse on them, which basically meant he turned them over. If you look it up, it means that he turned them over to God. I'm not responsible for you. I'm turning you over to God. And out of the woods came two bears and mauled 42 teenagers. And if you read the commentary along these lines, which I encourage you to do, what the commentary reads is that the things of God and the man of God was so important that they had lost interest. And what these 40 teenagers, 42 of them, were from Bethel. And they were involved in all kinds of sin and all kinds of idolatry. And they were immorality. And they were coming because Elijah had already taken a message there and had already been like, you guys need to get your life right. You need to follow the things of God. And they refused to do it. And they came to taunt Elisha and say, we dare you to preach that same message to us. They began to, and this morning I was sitting up at 5:30 in the morning. I was sitting in Pastor Stephen's office and just sitting in the chair. And I just began to think about, you know, because as you're studying the word, what I realize is sometimes we read about people in the word and we forget that they're human beings just like us. I mean, they're the very same blood and the very same nature that you have is the very same nature that everybody that you read about in the word, they're the same people. And I begin to think about the thing that the mandate that was on Elisha's life and how, as they begin to make fun of him and cause, you know, because when people make fun of your message, it causes you to draw back. When people begin to go, well, I don't know how I feel about that, and you, and you're like, well, I don't know how I feel about it either. And this is what the commentary said. It said that God not only cared so much about the man of God, he cared about the power of God. That he would not tolerate the taunting of Elisha. And I'm wondering, I'm questioning and even asking within my own self, here's the thing, I don't know what the 25th bear is for your own life. There are a lot of us that we are curious. And you know, it's interesting, in Kay's life Timothy Treadwell. And Timothy's life, and both of them, and Kay and Timothy's life, if you look at the history of them, do you know what happened in both of their lives? In both of their life, they had disappointment, rejection, failed business attempts. They had all these things, and all of those things, and I wrote this down in my notes this morning, is that guess what? When you go through disappointment, it causes you to distance. And both of these people, they had things in this world that didn't work out the way they wanted them to work out. The plan didn't unfold the way they wanted it to unfold. And so they got off by themselves. They both became bear lovers. That is so weird. That they begin to communicate and have relationship with animals that they should be having with the people of God. We are in this creation. We enjoy it, but we don't love it. We love him. We're in love with the creator, not the creation. And it's very interesting how disappointment can jade you. When things don't work out exactly like you want them to, how it can jade your perception of what is sin and what's not sin. And what happens is that we become familiar. Anybody ever been cured? I can tell the story on Mackenzie. She won't care. She was young, and I think I've shared it before anyway, but when she was young, she wanted to go to, I think it's called the pit. No, is that what it was called? Right here? Is that what it was called, the pit? And they used to have this thing called, like, Suds Night. Whatever is that? That is so weird. And it was for teenagers. And I think you would wear your bathing suit, and there would be, like, suds. Bubbles. I don't even know. If you went, just look straight ahead, nod. And one time she came to me and she said, I think I'm going to go to that. And at that point, her relationship with God was pretty strong. I wasn't super concerned about it. I was shocked. And I said, well, you and the Holy Spirit, you go have fun. And she said, whatever, I'm not going. Now, here's the thing. There are things that the world will present. The Bible does not lie and say that sin is not fun. What does it say about sin? Maybe only Miss Patty knows that verse. It says that sin is fun for how long? How long? It is fun for a... It's fun for a season. It's curious for a season. It makes us interest. Wonder what that's all about. Wonder why they look like they have so much more fun than I do. I'm so boring. I love boring. There are things that we're curious about, and the more we're curious about them, and we go out there and we get comfortable with it, because here's the thing, at the beginning, when we do things, honestly, that the Holy Spirit will convict us about, and we walk that path, we have boundaries. Anybody, you can be honest, I'll be honest, if there's ever a place where you've stepped over the line, but you still had a boundary, it's like, I did this, but I didn't do all of that, right? And so we've had boundaries. But after a while, you're super comfortable there. So here's the thing. Timothy, when he went into the forest, he initially had an electric fence about him. He initially took bug spray. He initially didn't feed the bears. He initially didn't do everything. But summer after summer after summer after summer, after going to see the bears and relaxing with them and getting familiar with them, he no longer thought that he needed any of the protection that he actually needed. And the bear ended up eating him. And the Bible says that sin, the enemy, wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. And I believe that there are things, I'm going to read you a couple of verses in the New Testament. I believe that there are things that is a call of God on the body of Christ, on you as a body, as me as an individual, as you as an individual, even us as an individual, but us as corporately, that God desires to do, not just in us, but through us, to be an example and to bring people that are lost, found, and to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, and to see demons flee, and to see breakthrough, and to see marriages saved and heal bodies. I believe that there are so many things that God is desiring to do through us, but we're just way too comfortable with the bears. So, I want to read you these couple scriptures. By the way, just in case you want to know what happened to Kay, they say that, there's two different stories about her. They say that this, one is that she starved herself, or she was so hungry that she starved. But in the end, they don't know if the bears came in and killed her before she was dead, but in the end, the bears did eat her. What's interesting is that the devil doesn't care if you're already destroyed, he'll still take you out, or if you're living, he'll take you out. Either way, and you know, it's interesting. I have a very dear family member that I'm spending time with right now. They don't live here, so you don't have to try to figure out who they are. A very sad situation. She didn't know, and here's the thing, neither do you, by the way, how one drink turns into two, turns into four, turns into I get up in the middle of the night and drink alcohol, to I check myself into a hotel and drink for 4 days straight till I end up in rehab. See, we don't know those things. You don't know, honestly, what's going to be somebody else's 25th bear. And you know what's so sad is that Timothy didn't just want to go over there by himself. He invited his girlfriend, his fiance, and guess what? She died along with him. And I'm going to tell you something. There's people that are worth it in my life. There is no substance. There is no sin. There is no action. There is nothing. Honestly, listen, everybody in my life is worth it for me to do his plan and his will. And some people, we just play along with some things and we think, well, this isn't going to affect anybody. Oh, no, it's going to affect a whole legacy. I want to read you a verse. I love all the shouts this morning. It's so exciting. I knew it was going to be sober, so I came prepared. I've been reading the scripture now for 2 weeks. And 1 Peter, Hannah's going to come up. It's going to get lighter. And 1 Peter Chapter 2, verse 11. They'll put it up on the screen. I want you to see this. Dear friends, I warn you as what? What are they? What are we? What are we? Temporary what? Temporary residents. Listen, now what's interesting is there's some strong verbiage right here. It says, I warn you. I warn you as temporary residents. Now this is talking to believers. Say, I'm a believer. This is talking to believers, and it's saying, I warn you, I'm having you keep guard. When I heard this message, this is what the Holy Spirit just said to me. He said, this is a warning, because there are still warnings by prophets of God. There's still warnings by pastors. There's still warnings to the body of Christ. There are wake-up calls at times in our life. How many of you love your kids, and they get ready to do something bad, and you're like, stop! Anybody ever done that? Okay, we do it all the time. And you don't go like that, stop, because you don't love them. You do that because you love them. And so in 1 Peter 2:11, it says, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from what? What kind? Worldly desires that what? Wage war against your what? your soul. So keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your souls. Now, if you've been at Coastal long enough, you know this. Our soul is our what? Mind, will, and our emotions. So there are things, there's worldly desires like pornography or looking at things or talking, telling dirty jokes. There's music that has a lot of vulgarity in it. And I honestly, there are some people who they can't even handle. You don't know who's around you that pornography is their 25th bear. You don't know who around you has been fighting that so hard, and you say one thing or throw up one picture or make one comment, and honestly, they've been standing and standing and standing. And the body of Christ is like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's a big deal. You know, my mama always says, it's a big deal to God. Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 11 through 14. This is all the more urgent. This is the time period that we live in. For you know how late it is. This is not talking about the time of the day. This is talking about the time of the season that we're in. You know how late it is, and time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone, and the day of salvation with Jesus' return will soon be here. So what? What's that word, next word? So what? Say it with me. So what? Remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, and we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in darkness, the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or sexual promiscuity and immoral living. And here's the thing, if you don't do sex but you quarrel and you're jealous, it's the same thing. Don't participate in these things. Why? Why does he? Because guess what? The day is short. The time is now. And the world shouldn't be confused who's living for God and who's not. It should be a clear indication, not just because you're carrying a big Bible around and because you're walking around the grocery store saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't do that. Just live away from the bears. Instead, say instead. Clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love this next part. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge in evil desires. Very interesting. Don't let yourself think about ways to indulge in your evil desires. You'll hear Jensen, if you listen to this sermon, he'll say this: way before it happens between the sheets, it happens between the ears. Way before anything is done out here, we've practiced it in our mind up here. Which is why what we think about and meditate, that's why the Word of God says, meditate therein. How long? How? Day and what? The Bible says, meditate therein day and night. When you stand up, when you sit down, when you rise up, wherever you go. And then it says, mutter all day long. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, making melodies into your heart. So listen, because as you begin to mutter and talk about the things of God, you begin to renew your mind to who God tells you to be. Now I'm going to leave you with a couple things. This is something that they say, the park rangers say this when you go to the trails of Alaska or go on the trails to around the grizzly bears. There's three things that they tell you to do. One, it says be noisy. Now, not necessarily you don't want to scare a bear, but they say if you're with a group, you should be like, ha ha, woo, like you should make yourself known to be with a bear. The other thing that they say to do, if you don't want to get eaten by a bear, is travel in groups. No isolation.
And then the third thing is this. In case you didn't know this, most grizzlies, not all, most grizzlies can't climb trees. They're way too fat. They're way too heavy. And as a result, if you go up to higher ground, the grizzly can't get you. So three things that the body of Christ is going to do. I'm going to leave you with this last scripture. You can stand up. And you might be saying, Pastor Tiffany, how do I not do the things that I don't want to do and do the things that I do want to do? There's a way. There's a way. You remember that you're a three-part being. You remember that? And you have inside you a spirit man. In Galatians 5:16, it says this. So I say, let the what? Say, let the what? What's he going to do? Guide your what? Lives. Then, say then. I won't be doing what my sinful nature wants to do. So here's the thing. We all have a sinful nature. It's been crucified with Christ. I still have a flesh that wants to do what it wants to do. And it's curious. But there's a spirit man on the inside of me that when I begin to yield to the spirit man on the inside of me, I won't give way to the things of the flesh. And I really believe a couple weeks ago, we were actually praying on Wednesday, and then we prayed on Thursday. It was Wednesday night, and then Thursday morning we were praying. And these words kept coming to Pastor Stephen and I, come on up to a higher place. There are more. How many of you believe that God's got more for you? He wants to show you things? How many of you know he wants to teach you how to train your kids? How many think, you know what? I believe that there are things that I want to experience in God still. There's revelation that I still want to have. There's songs that I still want to sing. There's freedom I still want to experience. There are things of God that are still waiting to be released for me to enjoy in life. But if we're not careful, we'll play with the bears more than we will yield to the Holy Spirit. And this is just a warning. So go listen to it from Jensen. He probably did a much better job. I thought it was very interesting that the Outer Banks had their very own bear lady. Go read about that too. It's very interesting. Can I pray for you? Did you want to share something? Oh. Pastor Stephen shared this with me. We're laying in bed last night. He said, Tiff, I had an experience when I was in college. He said he wasn't serving the Lord at the time. And he said we were kind of just going from party to party to party. And he said one day, one evening, he just, honestly, he said, I felt a check about going to this party. He said, I felt like inside of me, like, don't go there. And so he didn't go. And that night, that house had a drive-by shooter and somebody got killed. The whole house got shot up. And he said, I believe, even for my own self, that was like a 25th bear for me. There are things that the Holy Spirit is keeping you away from because the enemy will love nothing more to take you out. And it doesn't mean just die. It means when we, you know, do you ever run into people that you knew that were doing so well and then they're not? And doesn't it just break your heart? And you wonder what happened? All that happened is they begin to show interest and play in areas that they had no business going. God's hand was never removed from them. they got out from underneath the protection. So Father God, this morning, we just ask that by your Spirit, you begin to reveal to us any areas in our life that we're in areas of danger, whether it's with another relationship, it's a coworker at work, there's too much conversation, or there's conversation going on via text with the opposite sex that's inappropriate, or whether I'm looking at things I shouldn't be looking at, or honestly, one drink has led to two drinks, this led to three drinks, and I know that I'm in an unsafe territory. Holy Spirit, I thank you that on the inside of us, you have given us a strength and an ability and a grace that far surpasses anything outside us that would tempt us. And we thank you right now for the grace of God on our lives to turn a different direction and to walk away from the things that the enemy has set up as entrapments to take us down. I pray right now that every single person would feel an unction from the Holy One on the inside as they feel strengthened up and encouraged and loved on and protected and all the things that God has in store for them, that would be the very thing that they experience. Not shame, not guilt, not any of that the enemy would try to put on, but honestly, the very love of God that draws them back into the place of safety and divine plan and divine path that he would have for them. That we would turn and we would walk out the very plan of God for our lives. I thank you for every single individual under the sound of my voice. I thank you that we begin to do it together and hold each other accountable. And I'm just going to do this right now with every eye closed. If there's anybody at the sound of my voice, I really would like every single eye closed, even if you're one of those people that peeks every now and again. I want you to just close your eyes. I'm the only one that's going to have my eyes open. I'm going to open them right now. If there's anybody at all in this room and you're going to say to me, Pastor Tiffany, I've been dealing with some things. I feel the Holy Spirit's been unctioning me. I've been dealing with some things. And today, I want you to be in agreement with me. I want you to stand with me. If you're dealing with some things and you feel like I've gotten too far, I need to pull myself back. If that's you, just raise your hand. Every eye closed in this whole room. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. If there's anybody, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father God, I thank you that you see those hands. I thank you that you strengthen them from the inside out. Thank you that they sense your love. Thank you, Father God, that you draw them to your goodness. Jesus' name and every, you can come on up. In Jesus' name and everybody.
Hey, I'm Pastor Stephen. This is Pastor Tiffany. We just want to thank you for joining our online worship experience today. And grateful to have you. We got some information that we want to pass on to you. Maybe you can connect up with us here real soon back on another online worship experience.
We'd love to connect with you. And if you just take a moment and download our Coastal Family Church app, you're going to find a gray card on that section. Just take a moment and submit that and fill that out. We'd love to put a free gift in your hand and also slip a letter in the mail letting you know more about Coastal Family Church and any upcoming events we have. Maybe this is your first time with us, and again, we just want to say thank you. If you call Coastal Family Church your home, we want to let you know that there's several ways that you can give, also on our app or on our website. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. Pastor Stephen.
Hey, we'll see you soon. You guys have a great day.